Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
I think that we can learn things and accept things growing up and not really ask questions. And you know, the truth is, I pray that we'd always be a church that asks questions. I pray that you'd always be the type of believer that goes through life and goes, well, why? And has the maturity to explore that. Because the truth is, I think there's so much power in baptism and in the traditions of the church that we just simply need to understand why it is what it is. And so if you find yourself here today and you've caught something or even thought something regarding certain traditions or rituals or rites of passage in Christendom, in Christianity, I just want you to, here's what I want you to do. I think it's so important that we learn to let the Bible interpret our beliefs and not let our beliefs interpret the Bible. Because here's what I know. Maybe when it comes to baptism, you're like, well, wait a second. These are adults getting baptized today. I mean, don't you do that as a baby? That's reserved for babies. And hey, that is a conventional way of thinking for many in Christianity today. And there's, you know, with all sensitivity, I would say, yeah, that's fair. But here's what I'm going to challenge. I'm going to ask you to leave all your BS at the door, okay? Meaning your belief systems. Okay? And I'm going to ask you to come in here and open up the Word of God with me and allow the Word of God to interpret your belief rather than what you were just taught and caught growing up to interpret everything for you. You say, well, that's just the way it is. Yeah. Is it, though? Yeah. I just want to put that out there. Yeah. Is it, though? Yeah. Because the reality is, obviously, I'm all for belief systems and ways of thinking. They ought to be. But I am a firm believer that it's God's Word that's authoritative, not me. Yeah. Yeah. And the reality is that when we open up the Word of God, we really need to look at the practices and what the Word of God teaches, and then allow our beliefs to be shaped from that. But here's what I know about you and I, is that we can so often go, I have this idea of what I think, and therefore I use everything I read just to prove that conclusion. Right. Yeah. Oh, come on, in the political landscape today, isn't that how we operate? Yeah. Just everything is filtered. And you know what? I've learned something. You will see exactly what you go in looking to find. Right. Yeah. You get what you go for in life. Yeah. And so if you want to see an angry God, that's exactly what you're going to see in the Bible. You want to see a God who hangs people, shames people? That's exactly what you're going to find in the Bible. You're going to see a God who you believe is mad at you? That's exactly what you're probably going to conclude at the end of the day. If you feel like your God is going to love you one second and not love you the next, you're going to justify that belief because that's how you believe. And you got to be careful not to allow your experience to shape how we what our expectations are of God. I think we ought to let our faith change our experience rather than let our experience change our faith. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So let's open up the Word of God today because you've all been in incredible class. You left your BS at the door, right? And we're going to open up the Word of God together, and we're going to read together, and we're going to see what God says about baptism together. Does that sound good? Yeah. We're going to explore 3 points today: the purpose, the power, and the priority of baptism. The purpose, the power, and the priority of baptism. So if you're taking notes, you can do that. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I love that. Up until that point, not all authority had been given to him. Now that he's risen from the dead, he's not only restored, he already had heavenly authority, but now he's got all earthly authority restored to him on account of dying and rising from the cross. He took all authority and stripped the enemy, the devil, who was running around with that authority up until that point from the coming of Adam and Eve. He's now restored that under his feet, all right? And so he's saying now in a big, like, mic drop type way, all authority has been now given to me. Therefore, he says, therefore. I mean, I don't know if you ever notice this, but if there's a therefore in the Bible, you should figure out what it's there for, okay? Because a therefore is a conclusion. It's kind of a build up to, you know, a pivot moment. So I've created this case, therefore, right? In conclusion, this is what, so because all authority has been given to Christ, therefore, he goes, you ought to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. God's not going to forsake you. He's not going to forget you. He's got you. He's with you. He's walking this thing out with you. And I love this. Hey, All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Would you pray and bow your heads with me for a moment? I'm going to ask Jesus to really speak to us today. Father, I pray that, you know what, I got this mic. You give me a certain fragment amount of faith to be able to preach this message, God, but I thank you that it's not going to be me who does it. You're going to use your words to do it. And so, God, I pray that you would just honestly speak to people where they're at. I pray that you'd just honestly awaken us to your truth, your reality, who you are, Father. And I pray that the word of God would illuminate our hearts with a basic understanding of your word to understand who it is that you are and who it is that you want to be in our lives here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. Well, like I said, if you look around today, there's no doubt that we have a wide range of surrounding beliefs. Maybe you were sprinkled as a baby. Maybe you were dipped, or maybe you were dunked. I'm not sure what we're talking about, baptism or donuts. But the traditions, they kind of correlate together. Can you mind? You can't take it away from me, right? This is true, isn't it? Sprinkled, dipped, or dunked, all right? But when it comes to, you know, your experience, maybe your parents had a sprinkling or a christening or a baptism as an infant, which I would never take away from you. That's awesome. The only difference is here at my church, when I really look at this tradition, we vary in that regard because I believe that baptism, if you look at it from a biblical interpretation of what is founded over and over and over again, and how baptism was carried out, it was never an infant because the infant didn't have the cognitive ability to make that decision and make a public profession on their own. Baptism in its truest nature is actually something that an adult comes into choosing on their own and wants to make public. Babies don't get married, right? But here's the problem. That's exactly what baptism is to Christianity. It's like the marriage. It's like putting a wedding ring on and saying, I'm going public with this. I want everyone to know about it. And a baby doesn't have that competency nor the cognitive ability to choose that for themselves. So what is the practices that we see in the Bible regarding babies? Well, obviously, when it comes to babies in the Bible, what we do see over and over again is mothers and fathers coming and dedicating a child, saying, I commit, and it's a declaration of intent on behalf of the parents more than it is the child, saying, I will do everything in my power to raise this baby up in the ways of God, to expose them to the things of God, and to do my best as a church community or as a biblical, you know, biblically based community to raise this child in the truth of what God's word proclaims and declares over them. And so really, it's less about the child and more about the parents. And that is not to be taken away. And obviously, if you're baptized as an infant, what I don't want you to hear right now is, oh, therefore, I'm illegitimate. So that was nothing. So see the attitude there? Like, I pray that wouldn't be the spirit that you hear these words in. Obviously, that's the furthest thing from our heart. And we're just like, it's like, yeah, everyone hug each other, okay? Come on. Okay? It's cool to be kind, okay? But maybe you were dipped as a child or dunked as a teenager. Yet for others, maybe there's this morning and you're here and this whole thought is entirely new to you. Like, what is the deal with baptisms? Maybe you're grown up Catholic and you were taught, because I grew up in a Catholic school system, baptism was a sacrament. And it was a big deal. They a lot of them associated salvation with baptism. And that the water, it's a saving quality. So that's why a lot of Catholics would go immediately and baptize their child, because an infant, they wanted to make sure that they secured a spot in heaven for their child. And so they think, okay, let's get this child baptized immediately as soon as out of the womb. Like, let's get underwater, boop, boop. And you see those crazy films, don't you? Like those memes going around of like grabbing a child by the foot and going, whoop. You ever seen those? Before you see that? Does no one else think that's hilarious? Sounds as concerning. I'm out, we're like, oh, you should. But it's really funny, okay? But because I think there's some evangelicals here that go, man, what's the deal? Just read your Bible, people, and you can almost be a little bit snobbish in your point of view. I go like that, I go, wow, good on you Catholic people out there, because you care enough about your child to do something like that. How cool is that? Come on, somebody. All right, don't clap to that. That's all right. I'm passionate for those of you those were the Catholic folk in the room that just went, yeah, exactly. The truth is, I want to be as sensitive, though, to what you were taught or maybe what you caught growing up. Because here's the thing. We hold dear to belief systems. And that's when I say, leave your BS at the door. You're like, no. Don't tell me what to do. You know, and I get that. Because we hold dear to our beliefs. And sometimes when they're challenged, it can shake us up. And so we almost become emotional in that conversation, overly emotional in the conversation. Because what's going to happen is we're protecting it and we're afraid and we get insecure. Here's what I want you to know from the onset of this thing. I'm not here to challenge or to poke holes in your belief system. That's not the intent of what this conversation is. As a matter of fact, the intent of this conversation is really just to have a dialogue, to throw some stuff at you and say, so maybe would you think about it? Would you consider taking this point of view and looking what the Bible has to say and just be open? Because I think that if you're not open, this conversation might as well just quit. I might as well just get off and dunk people and say, this is how we do it here, so whatever. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm saying? But I think that if you're open to hearing this and you're not precious about your belief, although you should be precious about your belief, it's conviction, but just being open to say, yeah, but if you make a good point, I'll listen. I was talking with a friend of mine recently, and he's like challenging some of my beliefs. And I was like, hey, that's fine. And he says, so I don't understand why you do this. And I said, well, if you can answer this question for me, you'll have my ear. And I posed it. And so I wasn't threatened. It was totally amicable. I just simply posed it. I said, hey, man, that's great. I can so appreciate this. But when I asked that question, he didn't have much to say back to me. As a matter of fact, he sat there silent and stunned. And somebody else came to the rescue for him. And it was kind of heartbreaking because the conversation was killed immediately. And I was kind of like, hey, man, it's just dialogue. And that's something, can I just say this? In today's world, we as the church ought to be really good at this. Because the rest of the world just isn't. Come on, somebody. And God is God, right? And he is the one. Like, if we think for a moment that we know it all, I think we're in deep trouble. Come on, somebody. Can we just all agree on this? We don't know it all. But we can love each other through our disagreements. We can hug each other through it. That's what I just hug it out. Hug it out, man. Just hug it out. Keep hugging. Some of you need to hold each other longer because you really need to, like, hug it out. You know what I'm saying? And then once you're done, you're going to grab each other in the ear and you say, let it go, let it go. Can't hold this anymore. Yeah? No? Okay. All right. So what is the purpose of baptism? Number one, the purpose of baptism is simple, okay? It symbolizes one of our purposes of our life. It's incorporation into the family and the fellowship of God's eternal family. So let me say that in English, okay? Because some of you are like, incorporation in the, right? Okay, so this is what the purpose of baptism is. It's simply this. Baptism declares your faith, shares Christ's burial and resurrection, and symbolizes your death to your old life and announces your new life in Christ. It is basically this, water, okay? It is water. I want you guys to know there's nothing sacred, nothing spiritual, nothing overly crazy other than that is a tank full of water, okay? That's all it is. H2O, okay? I am your water boy today, and I will be lifeguarding, okay? And what this symbolizes, though, is something in Christ that we all know. See, when we put our faith in Christ, when we identify in Christ and say, hey, you know what? I'm putting my faith in what he's done on my behalf. Jesus died for my sins so that he took the punishment that was deserving to fall on me. So when I put my faith in him, I am basically saying, so I died with you. That's what the Bible would teach. That when Christ died, that would be, because you're identifying in what he's done on your behalf, it'd be like you died with him. So you're standing in your old life, in your sin, separated from God. But then when you put your faith in Christ, it's like he gave you a brand new slate and he dips you into the grave. You're going into the grave. The water symbolizes the grave where all of your past life is, you're given a brand new beginning, a fresh slate. You are no longer going to be held to your past or where you've been or what you've done, ever. And so it symbolizes you going down into the grave with Christ. And then 3 days later, coming up to new life, into a brand new beginning, a brand new start. The old has gone, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the old has gone, the new has come. You are a brand new creation, the Bible says. You've come alive to God in spirit. Maybe not in bodily form, I get it. You're the same person, you look the same, you smell the same. Some of you, that's really, you should probably take that to credit. You smell the same. Come on, somebody, go take a shower, right? 5 days, babe, a little bit too long, you know what I'm saying? But, just kidding. But here's the thing. It's only a symbol. It's a symbolic ceremony, it is. But understand, it's only a symbol. My wedding ring is only a symbol. It represents something that has substance, which is my love and devotion to my wife, whom I am married up. Hello, somebody. Okay? And I still can't believe it. It took me 5 years to convince her. But praise the Lord, persistence pays off, fellas. Don't be a creep. But Persistence pulls. You're like, come on, praise God, all right? And understand, baptism is much like the wedding ring of the Christendom. It's simply an outward symbol of inward devotion. Well, this is an outward symbol of inward change. You've been changed, and you want people to see that change. And so you're going to profess. You're going to publicly get up and tell people about how Jesus has changed you, right? And you're going to do something symbolically that might feel weird, but it's packed with purpose. It's showing them, this is my old life. This is what I'm going to show you, something that's happened on the inside and try to give you a picture on the outside. Does that make sense? And that's all this means. And so the purpose of this, it's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. It represents what happened at the moment God brought you into his family. Romans 6, 3 to 5 says it like this. This is what happened in baptism when we were under the water. We left the old country of sin behind. For many of you remember my Easter message was the prison sin, the prison of sin, right? And you left that behind. It was an old place. And we came into out of the water and we entered into the new country of God's grace, a new life and a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. Look at this. Paul's awesome. He says, when we were lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we were raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. See, Caleb is not just making this stuff up and saying today, I'm reading you. I literally just paraphrased a second ago the Bible to you. Now I'm reading you the Bible to solidify why we believe this, because Paul preaches. You guys what I'm saying? And so he's saying this is what it's like, the resurrection of Jesus, being brought up in a new life. Each of us raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. So let's cover a couple ground. What is the purpose of baptism? Number one, it is a declaration. You're going to get up here and people are going to get up here and tell the whole world, yo, I'm declaring to you, this thing is legit. Jesus is for real. I've encountered him. He's changed my life. And you can't take that, guess what, away from anybody. Their experience is their experience, isn't it? And so what happens is they get up there and they declare to you the inward change that has taken place in their lives. And they make a public profession of their faith. They're going public with it. They're not ashamed. Come on, anybody doesn't want to get married in public and let everyone know and be like, woo, this is my wife. It's like, I think that's weird. I am proud of what is walking next to me every single day, walking into the church service, into the grocery stores. Those who go to represent me elsewhere, it's like that ring, and I'm like, and everyone looks at it and goes, oh, shoot. Single guys see that, they're like, oh, shoot. I'm like, what? Just sewing right now. Just sewing. No, that's not bad. See, it's an outward expression of inward change. And it is the thing, it's a declaration. And the thing is, we as believers, though, can be really slow to get baptized. Many of us have put our faith in Christ and not been baptized. And I find that incredibly odd. You got to ask yourself, why not? Number two, it's a celebration. What's the purpose? It's a celebration. It's not only a declaration, but a celebration and a party at that. See, we're having literally a pool party today, okay? This is going to be a party today. It's a celebration. Why? Because many of us have been along people's journey. Some of us were the ones to say the prayer with somebody, inviting Jesus into that person's life, and seeing and walking out that transformation with them, seeing their life literally get turned upside down in the best possible way. And we've been walking with them. And for us, for those who have been a part of the journey, for the person, it's a celebration. Just like a wedding is not seen as here's the ball and chain. I feel so bad for you. People who think that, I feel like they've missed the point, haven't they? It is a celebration. It is a party. And we ought to party like it's 1999. Somebody give God a praise. All right. We're working that out still. See, here at my church, we love baptisms, welcoming people home and seeing life change. When the prodigal son came home, it says they threw a party. And it says when the oldest son got into it, they heard the sound of laughing and dancing. I know, they danced. Scandalous, right? Come on, somebody who's got a dance move. Okay. That wouldn't work very well here. I mean, work very well here. It's a celebration. Hey, so let's dissect the real heart of baptism. So how is it to be done then? Dip, sprinkle, dunk? What's the deal? How is the practice, how was it presented in the Word of God, and how could we follow to try to keep this closely staying, hashtag biblical, It's a big word today. Everyone's like, let's be biblical, man. It's like, okay, so what does that look like in this context? So the word baptizo, it would shock you to realize that it's actually not a religious term. And for the majority of you here, the only place that you've ever heard the word baptize, which is the original word baptizo in the original Greek, is in church. You would only associate it with church. You'd never heard a term like that probably elsewhere in modern day language. And yet, the term baptizo, baptism, actually derived itself from ancient Greek language that was very common in its use. All it meant was to go for a dip. Hey, man, I'm going to go for a baptizo. Want to come along? Literally how it was used. If it was used of ships that were sunk in battle, if a ship was hit and took on water and eventually sunk, they would have said, you baptizoed my battleship. Literally. We have ancient documentation showing this. People that were drowned, baptizoed. We won't do that here today. I was just baptizing them, officer. I don't know what happened. You know? People that were drowning in debt, baptizoed in debt. Literally, that's how they use it. Oh, wait, some scholars have even come against ancient recipes that people use in the process of pickling pickles where they said they were baptizing their pickles. Baptizoed, right? Hey, dill, right? It's like, it doesn't have, this is the thing about spirituality. We like to go, ooh, and get all wishy-washy and ooh, airy-fairy about Christianity. Guys, God isn't like that, hey. He's not like, when you get to heaven, you're going to be met with your spirit, you know, family members, like, floating by and saying, ooh, it's nice to have you, welcome. They're not, oh, come on, really? Yeah. I think you're going to be shocked at how incredibly normal God is. Yeah. How incredibly basic and how, not basic in the sense of, like, common, but I mean, just, oh, yeah, right. And it's going to feel just, you know what I'm saying? See, baptism derives from it's just explaining a very common term, just a dunk, to immerse fully. And that's why the word, actually, the actual definition of it is said like this. It says, it means to, the Greeks literally define the verb as to dip, dunk, or fully immerse something underwater. That's all it meant. So in our case then, we actually practice full immersion, completely underwater baptism on this grounds, deriving the actual meaning of it. And what happens is it's not only a declaration, it's not only a celebration, but it's actually, thirdly, it's a means of identification. Like I said, a wedding ring, it identifies you as said being with said person, which I am like, yeah, right? And when I think about like you being like next to Jesus, I'd be like, baller, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's awesome. He's pretty great. And it's not something you ought to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. And yet in today's world, I just saw in the music room back there, there was an Alice Cooper quote. It's like, you know, trashing hotel rooms is easy, but being a Christian, that's rebellious. Alice Cooper. And I was like, come on, Alice. It's awesome. But look at Matthew 10, 32 to 33 in the Good News Translation. It says this. It says, those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same for them before my Father in heaven. But those who reject me publicly, I will have to reject them before my Father in heaven. I think what Jesus is just simply getting at is saying, yo, what do you have to be embarrassed about? If I were acting embarrassed and want to keep my wife under wraps and just let my little secret, like, love affair with my wife, you know, that would be weird. It's like, nobody knows Julie. She's the mystery room. Is he married? Is he not? That is the question, you know? And I think that we can live our lives like that as Christians, though. You know, we did a series called, you know, Closet Christian. What's keeping you from coming out? Because really, when it comes to Christianity, there are all kinds of things that can keep us from coming out and being bold about who it is that we identify with in Christ and being bold about what we believe. Isn't it? Come on, somebody. Proverbs 29:25, it says it like this. It says, it is dangerous to be concerned with what others think about you, but if you trust the Lord, you're safe. Don't have this fear of man. I think that when it comes to baptism, well, it's not my personality. I can't get up in front of God and everybody. I can't do that. Yeah, but consider this. He got in front of God and everybody, naked on a tree, nails driven through his hands and feet for us. Now, you could interpret this like, wow, that's real manipulative. That was like shaming. And then, you know, so you could interpret it like that. Or you could really just weigh it out and go, he's gone there already for you. He's not going to ask you to do something that he hasn't already done for you. You get what I'm saying? It's a little thing to ask, in my opinion. But Proverbs 29, 25, in the contemporary English Bible, it says, people are trapped by their fear of others. Those who trust the Lord, however, are secure. I just invite you to trust God when it comes to baptisms. So exploring this a little bit further, do I have to be baptized in order to be saved? It's a fair question. This is where in Catholic school, this was a belief. And this is where I propose an idea to you. Matthew 3:13, Jesus coming to his baptism. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, born sinless without sin. Therefore, I conclude safely without the need of salvation, yet got baptized. So I say, if there was a matter of being baptized, did Jesus need to be baptized? Well, of course not. That's silly. So could it be that baptism actually is not a matter of salvation, but something different? You see, in the Catholic Church, I grew up hearing about sacraments, and this is where we go, but that's a sacrament. It's a holy sacrament. And this is fair. I get it. But we got to break down the word sacrament for a moment and understand a sacrament is never mentioned in the Bible. It's things that are mentioned in the Bible, and then man creates tradition around that. So a sacrament, let's break the etymology of the word, is not a salvationment, a salvoment. It's a sacrament. It's a sacred moment is the word. That's what it means, sacrament, sacred moment. This is sacred. Absolutely is. It ought not to be treated as common or ordinary. It's a sacred moment. Not because the waters are sacred, not because this cow trough all of a sudden became holy today. Let me assure you, cows will drink from it, and it's not holy. Holy cow! This is not an altar. It's a piece of wood. See, it's not the actual substance of the physical things that are holy. It's the meaning behind the things that separate them and make them, set them apart. Come on, somebody. I pray that we have the maturity to always see these things. And so a sacrament is simply a sacred moment. The etymology of the word means sacred moment. That's all it means. And so we would never take away from that. As a matter of fact, we would establish baptism as a sacrament as well. It's a sacred moment, but let's understand it's not a salvation moment, not at all. See, and I'll prove it to you. Luke 23, the Bible, the thieves on the cross next to Jesus are hanging on the cross, and one of them yells out to Jesus, please, think of me. And he goes, today you will be with me in paradise. He's saved. He put his faith and identified his need for Jesus on the cross. Man, that's the, 11th hour. Anyone agree with that? That's like, that's, you just got into heaven by the seat of his bum on that one. How many of you guys think that? You know, I was like, woo! That was a close call, okay? Being very insensitive to that man, I'm sorry. But here's what I'm trying to say. Is that man didn't get baptized, yet he's going to go to heaven. Jesus declared, you will be with me today. So here's what I want you to understand. Again, like getting married, it's like getting married without a wedding ceremony. Okay, so can you do that and still be married? Well, of course, sure. Sure you can. But then who would really want to do that? That's what Jesus, I think, is proposing to us. It's don't be afraid of identifying yourself with the person you're going to marry and being public with it. It's a public declaration of a new association. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, in association with Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 is amazing. It says, in him, Jesus, we have the forgiveness of, no, sorry, through the shedding, through his blood, have the forgiveness of sins. In him, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Did you catch that? In him, we have the forgiveness of sins through the shedding of his, wait, through baptism or the shedding of his blood? Which one was it? It's his blood, folks. It's not water. It's his blood. Let's understand this much. And if that's too morbid for you, it's like this morbid mention of blood in church. Some people pass out at the thought of blood. Blood! In him we have the redemption of blood. Ephesians 2:8 says this, we are saved by grace. It says the Bible is clear. We are saved by grace. Not of works, nothing of yourself. Baptism would be a work that we could commit to save ourselves. You can't, if there was something you could do to save yourself, then why did Jesus have to die? Answer me that. that would totally negate the need of Jesus having to be crucified and die for a people who could not do anything to save themselves. But if all of a sudden I can do something to add to that salvation, that nullifies and actually insults the thing that Jesus did on the cross. It now becomes a Galatians 2:20 moment, 19 and 20, where Paul says, if you could be justified by something that you do, Christ died in vain. Think about it. Now, going further, Mark 16:16 says this, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And this is where many grab this notion that I need to be baptized to be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. See? Well, I think it's like this. Those who get married and tell the world and wear a wedding ring will be married. But how many guys know if you don't get married, you ain't married? And so then it goes on and says, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It didn't say any mention. There was no mention of baptism in the condemnation aspect. It had entirely to do with what do you believe or not believe. And notice it said believe, not behave. Can I just point that out as well? Some of you think I have to behave in order to get right with God. It's believe, not behave. But understand, if you believe right, you will behave right. But let's just not get dyslexic here and put the word behave in the place of believe. It didn't say that. Come on, somebody. Mark 16, so he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. No mention of baptism. What about Acts 16? After Paul and Silas break out of prison. It says they come into this place and they get free and they get the jailer, and the jailer is totally moved by it. He's like, oh my gosh. He's like, tell me. And he says to him, he falls down because miraculously an angel of the Lord comes and like opens up the jail cells and they're like, you know, inner cell, and they get brought out and they're like, oh my God. And so all of a sudden, if this jailer gets caught having prisoners escape, he's going to get executed under Roman law. And so what happens is he's like, oh my God, I'm dead man, so tell me what I must do to get saved, you know? And they said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe. Look what Paul says. Believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. Well, how come he didn't say get baptized? Because baptism isn't a salvation moment, yet it is a sacred moment. But if we want to just cut through the clutter and get to what's priority, believe in Jesus, friend. Believe in Jesus, friend. Oh, man, because he's so good. And he loves you. See, that's the purpose of baptism. What about the power of baptism? We got to fly. In other words, the power of baptism is this. You're going to hear stories of people who've had their lives changed. Here's what I know. Some people's stories, I'm like, that's cool, man. Wow, that's so moving. Good for you. But then there's the other people who, like, I feel like I see my story in their story, and I'm like, oh, shoot. Do you ever have those moments? And you're like the golf ball, because you're like too cool to cry in church, right? So you're like, you get the golf ball and you get the sweaty palms and you're just kind of like, oh, shoot. Because their story speaks to you in a way that others didn't. Because that's the power of baptism. You see, some of you, it's not my personality to get baptized. I'll leave it to the charismatic, public people like Caleb. I'm more like introverted, man. I can keep it myself. So who, tell me, is going to reach those people who feel like you and look like you? Is it not going to be people just like you? Who get up here and get past their personality and put God's purpose before their personality and say, God, if you're willing to get in front of God and everybody for me, then I'm willing to get in God and everybody to hopefully reach somebody just like me out there. Man, I just work with my hands. I'm not much of a public speaker. I just kind of keep quiet. And who do you think is going to reach all those guys working on the yard with you? Who do you think is going to reach those girls working a few chairs down? It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Colin or my wife. It's going to be people like you. See, the church, man, it's not a platform-driven church. The power of baptism is hearing your story. Because here's something I can't take. Your story is powerful. And you can minimize it and devalue it and think, well, man, it doesn't matter if people know the details of my story. Let me just say, there are people who desperately need your story to take their next step. And I pray that you'd never devalue or undervalue what it is that God's done in your life. However big or however small you perceive it to be, your small might be huge in somebody else's eyes. Number three, the priority, and we'll wrap up here. But what should the priority of baptism be? Well, I believe the time for baptism is right now. Right now. As a matter of fact, It says, in Acts 8:34, it says, Philip, he was actually, had this crazy moment where he was brought before a carriage where this guy was rehearsing Isaiah, talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. And he's like, man, God, who can explain this to me? And Philip just happened to be there. Come on, some of you guys just happened to be there and you like avoid the conversation, you know? Don't do that. Be that one moment where you steer it toward Jesus in that moment, okay? And what happens is he listens in, and so he starts explaining what he was reading. He says, oh. And so the eunuch asks Philip, he goes, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, look what this guy said to Philip, who just got preached to. He goes, well, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Wow. Do you see how quick that was? I heard it. I believe it. What hinders me from going right now? Let's do it. And he's like, I'm not dressed for the occasion. Wait, shouldn't we do this in church? We're just on the side of the road. I love Carl Lentz and Laura Lentz over in Hillsong, NYC. You know, they came across a young guy with a Scandinavian look, but he happened to be Canadian, a really angelical voice by the name of Justin Bieber. You may know who he is. And I don't know where he is now. Like, where are you now? I'm not sure. I'm just really sorry that I don't know where you are now. But here's what I know. Is at like 2 a.m. one morning, one of the stories of Justin really helping change his life around was because of Judah Smith and Carl and some other friends of his that started looking up for people instead of judging and throwing stones at them because they think they have a look into their life through tabloids. Hey, you know? Kid at 18 years old, I think, took a leak in a janitor's bucket. Oh my God, a demon must be in him. You know? It's just not fair. Life runs through. If Instagram were alive and in operation, when I was 18, none of you would hear me. Aren't you grateful for the grace of God, somebody? God is good and gracious to me, all right? But here's the point. It was 2 a.m. one morning, and they were on a roadside just like that, and he goes, I want to be baptized. He's like, all right. And so he calls up, I think it was NBA player Kevin Durant. He goes, dude, you got a bathtub? He's like, I got a bathtub. He's like, all right, we're coming in. Boom, 2 a.m., and they dunk him in a bathtub. How sacrilegious is that? Some people freak out because that's not tradition. It's not the vessel of that holds the water, nor the water that's sacred. It's the man's heart and intent in the moment that creates it. And guess what? They're Instagramming it, and they went public with it. The biggest pop star in the world, I love Jesus. This week, he's singing the song we just sang. He's like, I forget the name of the song, Reckless Love, whatever. And he's like, he's doing these little things with his voice. I'm like, man, that's really good, Justin. Way to go, bro. And he's singing worship songs and elevating and platforming what God is doing in his life. And come on, somebody. Whatever your opinion is. But here's where we'll end. What's hindering you? You see, Acts 2:41, those who accepted the message of Jesus were baptized. Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message were baptized. Bam. That's it. What's the criteria for baptism? What do I got to do? That's it. Do you believe in Jesus? Be baptized. Go public with it. Tell your friends. Make it known. Don't put your faith under a lampshade, but put it out on a hill and let it shine for all men to see. Come on, somebody. And about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Why do I say that day? Because I believe that day is among you. That day, that moment is here for some of you to get baptized. And I think we can dishonor and water down, see what I did there, baptism. By making it a denominational church tradition rather than a biblical command. Let's get this tradition stuff out of the way. What does the Bible say? Let's just not be so weird about it. Come on, what does the Bible say? Our parents' decision, we can water it down when we make it our parents' decision rather than our own decision. Come on, is this your parents' faith or your faith? Do you believe this? Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus didn't ask in Matthew 16, what do your parents say that I am? Who do your parents say that? He says, no, who do you say that I am? Or we dishonor it when we merely see it as a suggestion and therefore as a, treat it as a common, ordinary thing. Can I just say, that day, it's that day. This is that day, that moment. This is that moment. This is that opportunity. This is that time where God wants to do something in your life that you'll never forget. This is that call that God is sending out to many people listening to me today and going, what is keeping you from being baptized? Come on, somebody. Some of you have been a Christian for like 10, 12, whatever years, and you've been back and forth. Go public with it. I promise you, once you go public with it, you're going to have a little bit more accountability. People are like, hey, aren't you? It's like, yeah, I am. And you're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. You're probably going to do a little bit different because now you know, hey, people know. And there's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.